I want to say welcome and thank you very, very deeply from the bottom of my heart that you've taken time to join us today for this retreat on the theme of self-care for racial justice, the inner and outer work of change. My name is Rhonda McGee, and I am, you know, privileged and honored and grateful and happy to be your friend in the journey, on the journey today. You know, the guide in a certain sense, but as we all know, if we're not being taught by our inner experience, by every experience that we have, then we're not really making the most of the opportunities life is presenting us, right? So we're all co-teaching and learning at the same time. And yet I really have taken to heart this opportunity to sort of facilitate our time together. And so in that spirit, I really want to, right here at the outset, say that a big part of my objective here is for us to really see what we might do together to create and co-create a kind of community of compassionate commitment to embedding a kind of an ethic of care. I'm going to call it, sometimes I'm going to use the L word, the love word, but a kind of totally appropriate kind of love. And I think part of the challenge is we don't really have the language for this. Non-transactional, non-exploitative care that we can imagine bringing forth in our public realm, in the public work. I think of this as how, when I think about the term justice, which we'll look at in a moment. But how is it that we might together create a kind of a container for exploring appropriate levels of care and intersecting that with this really, you know, it's really edgy and challenging for us to do this, but the work of social justice, but in particular, racial justice, the racial aspect of it is the one we're going to keep coming back to in our work together. So I know those of you who are here signed up for this, right? You signed up knowing this is where we're going, and I'm just affirming you're in the right place. Yeah. So, you know, the description that we presented with this, of course, invite us to think about the fact that we're grappling with racism and all kinds of inequalities at this time. As you all know, they've been magnified by the pandemics. I call them multiple interlocking pandemics. Of yet not only coronavirus, but also threats to our democratic system. We happen to be meeting on day, what is it, 5 of a second impeachment in the United States. But we are a global community to some extent. We've got members who are joining us from Canada and the UK, and maybe I think one from Australia, right? So we've got, we're not only here in the United States, and we'll be mindful of that as we go. But wherever we are on the planet, we know we're bearing up against interlocking threats to well-being. Climate distress is just a piece. The rise of authoritarianism wherever we are. The vulnerability we feel as soft-bellied carbon-based beings in a world where coronavirus is everywhere mutating and trying to live its best life while we're trying to survive. And then, of course, the economic distresses that are coming up for so many of us, right? That were here pre-existing these pandemics are now being exacerbated in some ways for many, many, many of our brothers and sisters as we go. And so there is a lot. And then, of course, you know, ability and disability is an issue, right? So when we talk about, when I talk about racial justice, I just want to say that it is fully intersectional in that sense. And we'll unpack that a little bit more. It, to me, it interweaves with all of these other aspects of the challenge of making the world a bit safer for all of us, a bit more accepting and availing for this kind of love that I'm speaking to, this kind of care that I'm speaking to. And so I, when I think of justice, I think of that project of making the world safer for all of us and for us to care for each other in these appropriate public sort of humanity affirming ways. And yet when we turn our focus specifically on race, we know that it can be difficult for so many reasons. We live in a world in which it's not been made easy for us to really grapple with the ongoing dynamics of race, racism, and the various hierarchies associated, hierarchies of value, of worth, of dignity associated with this thing called racism. It's really hard for us. And it's hard for us in different places, in different times, in different cultures, right? It's hard in different ways for each of us, depending on what, you know, where we come from and where we are and what our histories are, what our backgrounds are, what we look like in the world as we travel. And because it's, you know, multiply complex and challenging, this is one of the reasons why I've leaned so heavily in for most of my adult life, really explicitly on practices for deepening my own well-being, for grounding me in a sense of, frankly, my inherent belonging on the planet as a support for doing this work. So in the course of this retreat, and we are going to treat it like a retreat, right? It is going to be a place where we're going to practice together and we're going to deepen our ability to live with a deeper level of awareness as we move through the world, including that awareness that we belong inherently on this planet, wherever we are. To me, that's really a deep foundation and a through line of the work. And over the course of the next three Saturdays, I'm trusting that everyone's here is going to do your very best to kind of keep coming back and stay with us for the full journey. But over the course of the next three Saturdays, we're going to turn our attention to approaches to bringing together, right? Our commitments to compassionate awareness in service of self-care that can help us do justice in the world. I actually, frankly, think of the self-care part. I often use the phrase personal justice to capture this part. And so, and I'll talk about this, how it is for me that this idea that we're not born to suffer. None of us. We just plain and simply. No matter how unjust the circumstances we may find ourselves in, living in this body, this opportunity to take in one breath and exhale another and feel the possibility inherent in every moment is for me a reminder that no matter what difficulties we may be facing, our difficulties are not the whole story. They never are the whole story. And it's from that place that I can smile with you. I can reach out toward possibility, even amidst the pain. And yet I'm a journeyer on the path, just like you. I'm not a perfect spirit in any of this. So really, I want us to kind of create, as we go, a sense of the invitation of these three sessions, an invitation for us to explore together how it is for us, how it is that we can feel the gift of our being alive and really feel that and really be resourced by that. Even if we're, you know, not 100% well, who is most of us if we've lived at all? There's some physical, psychological, or other kind of distress we might be feeling in any given moment, some combination of them. Even when we're able to sit up and be here, we still might not be 100%, right? So however we are in these bodies, whatever the degree to which we might be struggling. One of my teachers in this work, Jon Kabat-Zinn, has often gifted those of us who sat with him and learned from him with this insight that he took into his work with people who suffer pain, people who were his patients or patients at the UMass, University of Massachusetts Health Center, where he developed the mindfulness-based stress reduction program. The insight he took from working with people who were ill was that from the place of our practices, we can really feel that if we're breathing, and it's hard to say this during coronavirus time, where even breathing is not always easy for us. But if we're breathing, there's more right with us than wrong with us. There's more right with us than wrong with us. If we're breathing together, there's more right with our ability to be together as, you know, socially constructed human beings, even in multicultural, multiracial, conflicting circumstances. There is more right than wrong with being alive together. That's my spin on John's, if we're breathing, right? There's more right than wrong with our being alive. If we're breathing together, more right than wrong with our being together in multicultural, multiracial, 21st century life. And so over the next three sessions, we're going to explore how it is for us and how it is that from wherever we are, we might deepen our resources for grounding ourselves in our highest and best, all of the goodness that we have, whatever wellness is within us, whatever compassion, care that we can develop and experience for ourselves, as a support, as a ground. And by compassion, I mean that will to alleviate suffering. That if you didn't have some of that for yourself, you probably wouldn't be here. The will to alleviate our suffering, you know, this retreat with the name of self-care for racial justice, you know, it self-selects folks who are ready for this. So self-care, definitely a part of it. But for racial justice, seeing that relationship between caring for ourselves and then being able to care for others. So I just want to thank you all. And just to say a little bit more about an overview of kind of where we'll go from here. Today, we're going to focus on the aspects of the work that I tend to refer to using the phrases grounding and being with, particularly probably more grounding in the being part. We'll begin and we'll sort of transition into more being with for our next session on next Saturday the 20th. Some of you know I wrote this book, sort of cheesy to kind of pull up the book, but anyway, The Inner Work of Racial Justice, which has these parts, five parts in the book, and the first two are grounding and being. So in a way, you can for those of you who have been exploring that book, I just want to make that connection between those first two parts and today's focus on grounding and the focus on being that we'll continue with. And I'm going to say this, the five parts, grounding, seeing, and being, actually. The first two are grounding and seeing. Some of you are like, wait a minute, I've read the book. It's seeing and then being. All right, so really, I misspoke. Grounding, seeing, and we'll have the seeing part transition us into being more with what we're seeing on the 20th. So grounding. From this place of grounded connection with the earth and the grounded sense of our belonging, moving into expanding our capacity to see more of what there is to see around issues of race and racism. Always more for us to see, actually, if we're willing to see. And yet it's not easy to see. And this is why that intersection with being, how do we kind of allow ourselves and support ourselves in settling into what we see, in navigating the emotional terrain of turning toward rather than away from race and racism in our time? So that aspect of building that emotional resilience and social resilience to be able to kind of continue to sort of stand in our ground, see what there is to see, and be with it with each other. So grounding, seeing, and being, first three parts of my book. And the last two parts, doing and liberating. Over the course of these three sessions, so on next week, we'll probably be shifting more of the focus into being, beginning that focus on doing, that will continue to be our occupation for our last session on the 27th, doing and liberating. And so when we talk about these five parts, I just laid them out as I do in the book, as if there's this linear way. Actually, they intersect. They're always, you know, in some sense with us, and we can think of those as touchstones for describing aspects of what we're dealing with. But when you write a book or when you lay out a program, you got to kind of put these things in sort of chunks. So there's both the sense of a directional arc, but at the same time, I hope you'll, with me, explore different ways in which we know that everything is always here and present. And we're deepening our ability to be more richly with all that is, right? So that's kind of all I want to say about the overview, except also just to say we will be practicing together and we'll be exploring a variety of different types of practice. For those of you who may be new to meditation, we're going to do some meditation. And I want always through everything that we do to really embed this sense of the invitation. So even, for example, right here, we ideally want you to be present and allow your video, for example, to be seen if you can. And I know for some folks who may be, you know, for a variety of reasons, unable to, but especially for these kinds of sessions and engagements, it matters that we can see you if you're willing to be seen. And actually, what I want us to do before we do anything more is invite this kind of practice, a kind of a checking in with ourselves. Okay, right here, right now, very kind of informal, but everyday kind of practice that I offer for groups. Thank you all. I see you all. Some of you turning the visuals on. I hadn't seen your beautiful faces. Please continue to show up if you can. Yes, yes, yes. There's no right or wrong. Nobody's judging how we're looking today. This is not what this is about. Thank you. Oh, I see my brother, Rudy. I see all friends, people I know and don't know, all my new friends that I'm meeting for the first time and folks that have been yes. Hello, Peter. Those of you who are just getting those visuals on, it's beautiful to see your faces. And this morning, we want to invite a kind of gentle invitation to co-create. This is what we're doing, right? A lot of times, by the way, when you come together for meditation at a center, we would come in and we would maybe drop right into silence. There might have been some preliminary jockeying around about where do I get to sit in the hallway. Some of you all know what I'm talking about if you've ever sat a retreat. It's like, can I get my cushion right exactly where I want it? Can I have my cushion, you know, close enough or right by the aisle or whatever the, right? And then we get a sense of like, whew, attachment. That's my seat. And right, nobody better sit in my seat. Okay, we don't have to worry about that. We're here wherever we are. But we might nevertheless invite then a co-creating of this kind of container right where we are using Zoom. And this is why we're asking, if you can, show your visuals, because we want to see your beautiful faces and feel your being here. But that might not be easy for us, right? Some of us are more or less ready to be seen today, right? And some of us, you know, we've gotten used to Zoom as a way of like letting us sort of hang in, and, but like not necessarily be seen if we're not ready. I get that, my dears. Hello, everyone who's just seeing visuals, new visuals for the first time and waving. Hello, Tony, my dear, and others. Yes, keep joining us if you can. Hello, Francesca. Hello, everyone. I may be able to call you out. Hello. And I know some folks can't. Hello. Oh, that's Rose. Rose or Rose. Let's see. There you go. Rosemina joining us. Hello. I know some of us can't, but here's the inquiry. How willing are you? I'm going to ask this of myself. How willing am I to be seen today? And not just today, but every day. What are my habits and conditionings around being seen? And it's not binary, right? It's like, okay, I might be willing to be seen, but really only this much. I'm only going to show this much. It's very common when we're talking about our social identities to be aware that, you know, we travel with some masks sometimes, and we sort of need to, depending on where we are. We are only feeling safe enough, right, to show a certain aspect of who we are, right? And that's totally okay. And so part of what we want to do with this practice is allow ourselves to contact, to kind of notice what comes up when I ask this question. How willing are you to be seen? And, you know, again, no right or wrong, except that I am gently inviting you to turn the visuals on. And if you can't, that's okay. But no, you know, you are your inner teacher, your, you know, what's the word? Deep trust. Deep respect for your inner guide. So if for some reason you need to continue to kind of keep yourself at some distance today, that's totally okay. The invitation is to just hold it in a space of inquiry, as we will do many, many different aspects of our experience. So starting right here, right now, how willing are we to be seen? And relatedly, how willing am I to see the other beautiful beings who are here? How willing? And, you know, with these devices and the way we set ourselves up, you know, I get, as a facilitator, I get this advice, you know, make sure folks can see your hands. So sit back a little bit. But for this moment, I'm actually going to lean on in a little bit and invite you, if you're willing. To lean in so that we can see you and that you can see each other before we drop into our silent meditations. Really consciously, it's disrupting the Zoom pattern of like, but like inviting, you know, we can't really do eye contact very well on Zoom, but we can see each other's faces a little bit better. Come on in. Hello, darlings. Hello, beautiful ones. Can we see each other and feel the spirit? The energy. Hello, Shelby, Kathy, Deborah, Jill, Barbara, Jennifer, Jan, and Krishna. Hello, everybody. Alma, Megan, Marie, Nancy. Hello, Cynthia and Terry, and my dear Io and Charlene, Megan, Peter, Zwei. Hello, good to see you. We are not able, Gary. I may not be able to call out everybody's name, Christine, Melanie, Anaji, Stephen, but it is good. It is good. Amy, Tanzania, Beverly, Lakeisha. It is good for us to see each other and behold each other. Create moments of beholding each other, even on Zoom. And in that spirit of encountering each other, even on Zoom, I want to see if I can, maybe with Brian's help, invite you, if you're willing, to unmute yourself. Not ABC World headquarters or any kind of fancy studio. So there will be sounds of life here. There is a partner here. There will be doorbells ringing from time to time, just as there will be with you. We're coming as we are, making space for who we are as we are. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. So already feel, is there any shift in your being, your body? Sense into the quality. Now we're going to take a moment to shift. We're going to, I will say for this morning, we're going to focus from this point, we're going to start this intentional shift into practicing together. But hopefully you can feel the ground of connectedness supporting you already. And again, it be maybe more or less so for each of us, right? There's no right or wrong. For some of you, you may still be like, I don't know. We're still on Zoom. I don't. But see if you can open up to feeling your way into the sense that you're a part of a community of practice and learning and teaching, co-teaching today. So I want to just say everybody's totally welcome from wherever you are, whatever your identity, wherever we are in flux with our identity. I identify as African American, as Black American, cisgender female, and with she, her pronouns. And I say this intentionally to really invite, you know, all of who we are into this room. I'm going to mention, I have a slight hearing problem, just to invite all of the ability and disability issues into the room. Right? All the ways we are physically differentiated here too. Let this be a place where we're experimenting with making a place within ourselves that's a soft place for us to fall, if that makes sense. Can we make, because, you know, the way we go through the world can be so defended and so kind of, you know, many of us have suffered along the journey. And so not in any way to shame that part of us that finds it difficult to feel self-care, to feel the sense of softness within us, to feel love within our hearts, even, especially for ourselves. How many of you sometimes feel like it's a little easier to feel love and care for other people than for yourself? If not always, then sometimes. For me, it's when I'm ill, frankly, which makes no sense. But somehow I was raised, somehow internalized this idea that it was not okay for me to be sick. Like, no, you know, maybe it was my parents were always working and we didn't have a lot of extra resources. And, you know, if I didn't go to school, that meant maybe somebody would have to stay home from work or, you know, a disruption. So I really internalized this sense of like, it's not okay not to be well. And so as an adult, I've struggled with allowing myself a kind of loving response to the body when it's not at its, you know, best. Isn't that something? And I imagine I'm not alone in that. For me, it's like a negative tape would come up. It's not as bad now because I've worked on it. But really, like a harsh tape would, like a mean voice would come up if I felt exhausted. And so now, you know, I don't have the mean voice, but where I am now, yeah, I know, right? Yay. But now I feel what it is like I'm still working with the energy of doing too much and working past when my body is trying to tell me that it's time to rest. So that I'm really starting to feel almost like a buzzing sense of overwhelm. And now I'm recognizing that feeling sooner. So that, I'm just naming where I am on that journey. I know I'm prone to like take on, say yes to too many things, to the point where I am physically feeling out of sorts. And now I'm noticing, you know, sooner when that's happening. And even more, I'm starting to see the pattern of what makes that so for me. What kinds of agreements have I said that are going to lead me to feel that buzzy overwhelm? Let me say no before we go there. So that's what it's been like for me. What is it like for you is a question we'll keep returning to. Okay. And to help us with becoming more friendly with ourselves, what's helped me has been a variety of ways of finding my way to love and care. And a part of that has been slowing myself down long enough to kind of reconnect with my own suffering, my own wound, my own distress, and my own resources for healing. So some of you know I've come from the South. I live in San Francisco now, but I come from North Carolina and Virginia. And I was raised with a grandmother who had been called to the ministry. So as a little girl, I saw her get up before dawn. She didn't have a glamour job like I do, law professor. She cleaned houses for other people. And she had been picking tobacco in the fields of North Carolina for the tobacco industry before that, and helping with sharecropping before that. Not an easy life. So when I come along in 1967, I like to name that year, when I came along, right? Because, you know, that arc that we've lived on seems important. Each of us have entered into this human community and human history at certain places, and it matters. When I came along, my grandmother had found her way into a ministry. She found herself called to offer teachings, even though she had not been, it was a lay ministry. She had not been formally trained. She'd barely been able to complete elementary school education because 20th century American South. She was born in 1906. Not a time for Black women's thriving. Not a time or a place. So my grandmother wasn't able to really finish her formal education, but she did find her way into a sense of the value of her life, a spiritual, deep, deep devotional practice, Christian-based. And it led to her just starting every day with a discipline of centering prayer and study and just really feeling the connectedness to her deep value. And then from there, going out and doing what she had to do to make money, take care, help heal folks, connect with people in the community. She baked cakes. We spent some time at church on the weekends, right? So the idea of starting one's day with some sort of practice for grounding in my own value and worth is something I learned from my grandmother in North Carolina in the late 60s, early 70s, right? So the later development for me of a practice of meditation, you know, was something that was that I found as an adult, and it felt like a good support for me as an adult. But it also, felt there was some kind of resonance with my grandmother's practices. And so, as I say this, I'm inviting the grandmothers in the room. I'm inviting the grandparents. I'm inviting our ancestors into our communion. And again, this might not be easy for all of us because, you know, first of all, we don't all know even our grandparents, some of us. And some of us, even if we do, that wasn't a good relationship, right? So in a way, I want to just expand it out to like the figurative sort of ancestors, the lineage that we may not know, because for a variety of reasons, some of us, myself included, don't know very far back in our actual lineage. But I want to say this, every person here is a part of this human lineage that goes back beyond memory and name generation and generation. I've been to South Africa. I've been to the place where they say we found the most early human ancestors anywhere on the planet in Africa. Early human ancestors. I believe we are part of one human family. I believe that whatever our difference is right now, if we go back far enough, we reconnect. And so, and when I think about inviting in ancestor or deep heritage wisdom, it's not necessarily in a specific way, although you may be remembering your own teachers from your families or from your communities that you grew up in. But it's really beyond that literal sense I'm inviting us to kind of make room for here. Can we make room for the sense that we're part of a deep, deep, deep history and heritage of humans who have survived and thrived, or we wouldn't be here. This is not to say we haven't been part of legacies that have suffered, but we are part of survivors, or we wouldn't be here, right? Can we feel that? All right, so the practices then that can reconnect us to a sense of our own resources. What have they been like for you? And I want to offer some practices to support whatever practices I know you already have, right? So the first practice that I want to invite us into is going to be a movement-based practice. And it's a very gentle movement practice that you can do from a seated position if that's most comfortable for you. We can adapt it to a lying down if that's where the body needs to be right now. But I'm probably going to stand up here and as best I can invite us to do it from a standing posture. So we've been sitting. I have been sitting. Some of you may have been sitting as well. Some of you may already be standing. Some of you may be lying and need that. So we'll do the best we can. Always, you are your best teacher guide. And so we're going to adapt practices as we go. Okay. But if you can, and if you're willing, the invitation is to stand, and I'm going to have to adjust the camera here a little bit, so bear with me. I'm sitting down on my cushion here. Let's see here. Okay. All right. So from standing, let me see here. Let's lift this up a little. Yeah. All right. So we're going to do some practices that are very gently aimed at kind of waking up the body and giving us a little bit of energy. You're going to see I'm bouncing here. And again, some of our knees are not up for this. And that's okay. Gentle, gentle, gentle. Right? If your knees are up for this, gentle, allowing yourself to feel this part of your body. And however much bounce you want, totally okay. But the invitation is to allow ourselves to, first of all, shake out a little bit whatever energy was starting to get stuck as we're sitting. Whoo, 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 shake it out. And I'm making the sound, whoo, whoo, whoo. You can make a sound, ha, ha, ha. There's a lot of neurobiological research around how sound helps. Yeah, just move in ways that the body might want right now. We want to stretch out, right? We can. What I'd like us gently, gradually sort of settle ourselves into is this first conscious invitation to remember the points of contact between the body and the earth. Wow. So what are we standing? What are we settling into? The ground beneath us, yes? The earth. Ha. So feeling as you stand here. I have my legs slightly more than shoulder width apart. And the invitation is to just feel that earth beneath you. And again, you might just sort of bring your body, give your body a little bit more kind of conscious sort of support for finding your center And so you might shift a little bit and rock around and really feel that natural center. As you stand, if you're standing, and if you're seated, as you seat, you sort of taking your seat as best you can, or if you're lying down, the real invitation is to feel the points of contact between the body and the earth right here, right now. So breathing in and breathing out. And so we're going to invite a little bit of movement to begin. What we're going to do is, again, I'm starting to sort of invite energy in my arms, just feeling the ability to move these arms. And it, for the moment, see if you can keep your attention in the arms, in the hands now. So feeling the waves of energy in the body in relationship to the earth right now as you breathe in and out. Maybe breathing in as we let the hands rise up. Breathing out if you're ready and willing as we lower them. And now see if you're willing, if you can, if you have space, maybe see if you can make a space so that if you wanted to, you could allow your hands to raise up a little bit to the side and feel the tension in the shoulders, the upper arms as you raise them, only as high as you feel comfortable. Attention in the hands, attention in the arms, just staying present to the body. And then stretching a little bit if you feel comfortable doing so as you bring those hands up. Again, only as much as you feel comfortable. And just feeling the connection between the body and the sky above, right? Be above the ceilings, right? Recognizing that we're on this planet in the heavens right here, right now, actually. In space right here, right now. So bringing ourselves back. For me, I'm placing my hands over the heart. Again, feeling my own body in space, in a sense, right? We're grounded here on the earth. Thank goodness we're on this body in the heavens. Thank goodness we're on this planet where we can breathe and be nurtured by the breath. So feeling our whole body here as we're breathing in and out. And as if you've got your hands on your heart as I do, you may have one hand over the heart, one hand over the energy center at the belly button area. You can just sort of experiment with maybe placing the hand maybe in the diaphragm above the belly button, maybe sliding it down to just below the belly button. What feels nurturing to you right now? What feels, if any of this, feels nurturing? Your hands might be cold. Sometimes I rub my hands like this if they're too cold. It's like, how about some love? Warmth. Yes. Actually, researchers say when your hands are warmer, research has shown we're more likely to feel warmth in our hearts. I'm not sure why that is. So if you're holding coffee versus something cold, we're more likely to feel warmth and positivity. We don't know why exactly. So just notice, remember, think of that, how much of a body we are. Our bodies react in positive ways to just a gentle warming. Often, maybe not always. So breathing in and breathing out and feeling ourselves. And now, if you're willing, I want to invite us to make a gentle motion in which you're allowing the arms to extend to the side. And if you can, and if you're willing, maybe scoop up. The invitation is to sort of scoop some of the energy of the earth up. And bring up this energy of the earth. And now we're going to carry that up toward the sky. And then imagine parting whatever clouds there might be above us, any sort of sadness, any difficulty. Once again, scooping up the energy from the earth. The power of the earth. Remember, it's a molten ball underneath us, right? Whoo, open up those clouds. Yes. One more time. Energy of the earth. Up through our center, our strength, the fire of the earth. And then up over the head, opening up. And then just feeling again, keeping the attention in the arms. Feeling. Being in our bodies. Being in our bodies with love. And I keep coming back to that center. Honoring however we are right now with love, inviting love right in. And now I'm going to invite a movement that I want to sort of maybe be a touchstone for us as we go through our 3 days together. It's a movement called Embracing the Tiger, Coming Home to the Mountain. So we begin, because when we talk about it turning toward race and racism, it's going to be some embracing of a tiger, some strands of stuff that'll feel difficult sometimes, anger, fear, outrage. So the invitation then is to maybe begin with that move of like allowing the hands to come up until we kind of raise them up and then expand them to be able to embrace what is coming at us that we need to, but hold it. We're controlling this, embracing the tiger. And we do so, we give ourselves a little bit of a hug for support and grounding when we feel a little bit shaken. And now coming home consciously to the mountain of who you are, and just allowing yourself to feel that, maybe rocking back a little bit on your heels, like home in this mountain. One more time, consciously knowing that when we encounter issues of race and racism, it is can sometimes feel very, very difficult, but we have the power to kind of relate with what is coming up from a place of strength and keep ourselves safe as we do so. Set boundaries if we need to. When we need to say no more, we say no more. Holding ourselves with the ultimate love and respect that we deserve. Coming home to that mountain of, I am here, I am alive. I belong on this earth or else I would not be here. Life has selected for you, for me, for all of us. So embracing the tiger coming home to the mountain with love. With love. Everything with love. So these hands forming almost like an extra heart, right? So that gesture, really, really bringing that love right home, right to your own heart.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.